experts are back. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, in this segment, we have with us a guest in the studio. We have Julie McDermott, the owner and operator of Forest Hill Farm in Grand Ledge. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Julie, I understand that out at Forest Hill, you offer both riding and boarding, and it's quite the extensive horse farm. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about it?
Well, we have a 33-acre operation. We are able to house 30 horses. We have both an large indoor arena and large outdoor arena and 23 acres of riding trails for our boarders. It's not a public riding stable where you would go for hourly riding, but it's a place where people want to keep their horses on a regular basis and come and enjoy the facilities.
Okay, so if I've got a horse, but I don't really have the space to keep them, that's the place where I want them to be, correct?
That's right.
Okay, and I assume that it's year-round, so even in wintertime, you're going to keep them warm? And
correct. It's year-round, 24/7. We don't have a heated barn because I feel that that's in the best interest of the animals because they're inside at night and out in the day, and if they come into a heated barn, that can actually be a little harder on them sometimes physically. It's harder on the people, but I'd rather have it be harder on the people than harder on the animals.
That's right. I remember one of the vets that we had on here, the same comments they made is that it's certainly not important to have heated barns.
Right.
I remember.
The ventilation is much better.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure. I just think about how cold it must be in a winter morning when the horses need to be taken care of about 6 in the morning.
Yep, and that's why we layer up good.
And is this a passion you've had for some time?
I mean, for my whole life, really. Horses, I mean, right. I never really, it was kind of unexplained. I just always remember loving horses. However, it took me a long time to talk my father into letting me take some riding lessons. About 13, I finally got to, and it just coincidentally, it's at the place that we currently own. And then I was finally able to lease a horse when I was about 16 for a few years. And then I bought my own horse at 20. So I boarded. I have been a boarder myself.
Okay.
Boarded until I was 28. And the people that used to own our farm wanted to go to Florida for the winter reasons and retire. And so up to that time, I had been a paralegal for 8 years at a law firm and decided, well, I've filled in, ran this farm for them when they wanted to go away. I guess give it a go and jump in. And we've been owned it for 16 years now.
Has it been a real rewarding experience?
Oh, the time has flown. And people and horses are really my passion. So it's really a great mix because, you know, you board 25 horses, but that means you have 25 different people.
Well, Rick, that makes perfect sense to me because the worst part of dealing with horses, she probably had lots of experience dealing with in the paralegal profession.
You get people skills for that, I'll bet. Even the worst of them, probably.
It's great to not have to be in an office all day with no windows, I can tell you that.
Even if
it's zero out.
I would imagine so. So, Julie, let me ask this question. As someone who has ridden a horse, albeit not in a talented way, but I have ridden one, what really are the skill sets when it comes to bonding with the horse, which I think seems to be the real key to success when it comes to riding? I would assume that the grooming and the feeding, just like it is with other animals, really is what leads to the trusting relationship that allows you to really become a successful rider. Am I right in that?
Well, I think, too, that finding the right horse to learn from is the most important thing first, and getting yourself, do some research and find out who can set you up for the best success early on. And usually a horse that's been there, done that, even an older horse that someone else thinks that they are beyond what they need is perfect for a beginner. That horse has lots of experience, and then it usually will have the patience to tolerate someone learning, and then you can start bonding from there. But if people make the mistake, let's get a baby for our baby, and then you have two novices, and it's just usually not a good mix because nobody's got any experience. So bonding really starts well if you have a good experience to begin with. My experience has been if you can set people up and match them up correctly right from the get-go and kind of get them through those earlier, you know, rougher times when nobody's sure what's going on, then as long as the horse is the right horse, then they can eventually bond to something that is of a different level later as they progress.
It sounds a little bit like matchmaking in your case.
It is. And yeah. I do teach riding lessons. I don't have as many lesson horses anymore as what I used to. I pretty much my focus now is anyone that boards with me, if they have individual goals that they would like to pursue with their horse, then I assist them with that. Whether it be a person that has bought the horse for the first time in their 40s or 50s and their kids are grown now and they've always wanted to do this. It may be something as simple as they just want to learn how to brush, ride, and handle their own horse and get independent with their own horse. Or it might be someone that has shown a horse in competition and they want to improve their skills. And I have there's some local high school equestrian team kids that board at our barn. And so there's a wide variety, but I really enjoy the individual goal that the person puts together. I can assist them with that, but I really like how all the goals are different. And whatever that goal is that they want to do, I'd really like to help them do it.
Do you have a problem with individuals that think and want and fancy the idea of owning a horse? They get involved, they have it starting to be bored, and then you don't see them show up? Or is that typically not a problem?
We try to get them into some kind of lessons first. If somebody's never owned a horse before and they think they want to own a horse,
yeah.
Or especially if there's little kids involved, we really encourage them to just keep them in lessons until the kids get through the phase that, you know, everything's exciting and the chores right. eventually wear off or whatever. But most people stick with it unless they have, like, a health situation okay. that comes up and maybe they're not able to come out as much.
Sure.
But that's really doesn't bother me at all. There are some stables that really prefer the people come out daily. In my situation, I have a lot of boarders who used to be very involved and then their lives have gotten busy. The kids have gone to college, but they did not want to part with their animal because uh-huh. it's part of the family. So they know that they still keep it at our place because they know that the horse is got some social activity with other horses.
Okay.
Is being cared for, and if there's a problem, I'll call. They have peace of mind that even if they can't be there anymore, everything is still okay.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, we're speaking this morning with Julie McDermott, the owner of the Forest Hill Farm out in Grand Ledge. Julie, I have a question for someone who's never owned a horse, but they're thinking about getting one. What is the daily time commitment, and what are the daily activities that you have to do with a horse in order for it to be properly maintained, properly fed, properly exercised, and essentially in good spirits the way that you would want an animal to be?
Well, if you're in a situation where you have your own property and you're taking care of your own horse, then it's usually – there's pros and cons to – some people say one horse is a bad idea.
Yeah, we've heard that.
However, I think that really depends on the situation because if you just have two horses, the horses will bond so tightly because they are herd bound that you often can't take one out without the other being very stressed. So that works well if you're going to always take the two of them together. But if you have a situation where you are wanting to just deal with one horse and you have the time to give that horse the attention it needs, I really don't see that the horses get lonely from that as long as they're getting sufficient
stimulation.
Yeah. Somebody coming down, handling it.
But from a time commitment, what kind of a time commitment are we talking about?
Well, it usually requires morning and evening and sometimes middle of the day feeding. Depending on if you have pasture, you may not have to run out and haste very often. But if you don't have sufficient pasture for that horse, you'll have to run out and give it some hay. You'll have to arrange for the amount of hay you'll need for the year. You will have to get your horse on a regular vaccination schedule, which I really recommend having a veterinarian do that because quite often, even if they just come in once a year, they can identify things that you might not be familiar with that you should watch for. And they can just a good general checkup at least once a year is a really good idea. So there's time involved when a horse's hooves get too long. You need to know that probably about every 6 to 8 weeks, you're going to have to be there for a farrier to come in and trim the horse's feet. So if you work, you may have to sometimes come home from work to handle some of that. It also depends on if you have a stall or not, whether you'll need to clean that stall. But even if the horse is outside, you're going to need some time to clean the manure out of the area that they're in. So you're probably talking at least a couple hours a day.
So, okay. So now I'm thinking if I want a horse, I want to have some boarding opportunities here. help us discover a little bit about the types of boarding facilities that are out there in the general public and how a consumer of boarding facilities can really find the right boarding facility.
Right. The first thing that I think is helpful if you're looking to board your horse is to know what do you want out of your horse experience and what do you want to accomplish, because there are many different types of boarding stables. They're all run differently, and there's something out there for you, but you have to ask the questions to find out.
So what would those questions be?
So the questions would be, first of all, you have to decide, do you want to keep your horse, would you like your horse to have a stall at night or in inclement weather, or would you prefer to have it pasture boarded, which is kept outside full time, usually with a run-in shelter? Pasture board generally will almost always be less expensive.
Yeah.
However, that means that if the weather's snowing, sleeting, raining, really hot, your horse will probably be out there, and you will probably be out there as well.
Sure.
Handling it when it's pouring down rain. A horse that has a stall, the upsides to that are, you know, they're in when the weather's bad. You're going to pay more for that because there's bedding involved and cleaning of the stall.
Sure.
And just general maintenance of that. But it depends on, you know, you usually then can get in out of the weather. If your horse has a stall, you're able to come into a barn. And it doesn't matter what the weather's doing, you can be in out of the weather. You also want to know, are you a person that wants to ride indoors in a ring, or do you just want to trail ride and ride out on the road? Does it matter to you if you can ride all winter or not? If you want to ride all winter, it's a good idea to look for somewhere with an indoor arena, and an outdoor arena as well. And not all places, have both. And again, that will, affect the cost. A place that has an outdoor arena, an indoor arena, maybe somewhere else outside to ride, like trails, is going to probably be more expensive because there's a wider versatility for you to choose from than a place that offers just an outdoor arena. There's mm-hmm. plenty of places that offer stall board, which means the horse can come in at night, but an outdoor arena. But then you have to decide when it's snowing, raining, sleeting, and in Michigan, that's a lot of the time. That means about half the year you don't want to ride out in the mud or in the pouring rain. So you have to decide, you know, if it's important to you, you may want to spend a little more to have the ability to ride full-time all year long.
Sounds like there's a lot that goes into it. Julie, last question before we let you go. If you could, for me, summarize, what's the best thing about having a horse? Why is that the best animal to have as someone who has completely put her life into horses?
Well, my boarders could answer that for you so well. Just, I tell you, watching horses are like dogs too. I mean, they just, their spirit, their character, just almost everyone that's at our barn would tell you, even if they couldn't ride their horse, just going in and seeing their horse or hearing their horse nicker to them just touches their heart. Some people are in it for strictly business reasons, but my clientele is in it because of the happiness it brings them, the warmth it brings to their heart, and just touching a horse, smelling the horse, looking into the horse's eyes, watching them move freely is just as rewarding as getting on and going out for a ride.
Rick, I found someone who has as much passion for horses as you do for fish. I didn't think that was possible, but I found it. Thank you. We've been talking this morning with Julie McDermott, the owner and operator of the Forest Hill Farm in Grand Ledge. And Rick, in the next segment, we're going to start talking about some of the different procedures for caring for horses right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS.
I must admit, I can't explain any of these thoughts racing through my brain.
It's true.
Baby, I'm howling for you.
is easy.